wandering away from the group. He'd be like, oh, there's a pig. And he'd be all of a sudden all the way down the riverbank. Like, everybody's like, where's Chuck? And there he is down the riverbank taking pictures of the pigs. And Vishu, who's our security guy that was with us all the time, is always like, where is he? And chasing him down. It was a riot.
Getting out of Orlando, we had to stop and wait for Chuck because he was trying to smuggle peanut butter into Haiti. And because he didn't know what we were going to eat while we were down there.
They pulled 3 jars of peanut butter out of his luggage. It was a pretty funny moment. These are packing all of our supplies onto the top of the van. We took several vans in. It's about a 40-mile drive from the airport to Grand Guave, where we stayed. It was just a fun little picture in the van. Yeah, and that can take 2 hours or that could take 6 hours. You just never know what riots are happening, what's going on.
I was just going to say that 40 miles represents many different things to people, because on the way there, it was quite a smooth ride. When we came back on Sunday and the markets were along all the roads, there were people everywhere. There were people hauling plywood on their scooters. I mean, it was chaos.
Yeah.
And there are no traffic lights.
No.
None.
Not a one.
Oh, in the city. But once you get out of the city, there's still almost as many vehicles driving. Well, you wonder why they have all these little dings in their car. And now you know, because they drive every which way and they can scoot their 4-foot-wide car into a 2-foot-wide space.
Yes.
And no traffic lights, so. Or stop sign.
Yeah, it's the driving there is chaotic. I don't know if that road is worse or 19 is worse. I haven't come to a decision yet, but it's pretty close. I mean, it's pretty close. It's crazy on either. So we go and we arrive at Be Like Brit. We drive up this big hill. It took us a couple hours to get there. It wasn't a bad journey. And we come up and here's where we come to, this compound up on this hill, giant B. And then if you see that new building off to the back there, that little 2 or 3 level building, kind of up that main drive, that's where we stayed. That's a new wing. Leslie and I did not stay there when we were there last time because it was not built. So that's just for people now that go to stay there. So. Here we are, we're arriving, we're just settling in. That's where we stayed. That big open area there is where we ate all of our meals and just hung out and took in the view. There's the one guy in the blue shirt. He comes up often. This is our full group. Now, we went with 4 other people. We went with our guide, and her name is Chloe. She works for the organization. She's a dynamite person. She's bold and courageous, and, I mean, she's, what, 26? Goes in and out of Haiti on her own. I mean, you'll see pictures of her. She's quite an amazing person. That's her. The other 4 people there are her in-laws, so they're with us, and I think we'll say more about them in a little bit. Because you have to have a group of 12 to 15 to make this work. Otherwise, the journey doesn't fund itself. So we met up with them, and they partnered with us. So, and there they are. That's Chloe's in-law family. So we had lots of exploring to do. Well, we kind of wandered around the place, and... caught this picture of Fran reading this really moving. This is the last text that Britt sent her mom, like literally an hour before she died. Sent this text. Can someone with better eyes than me read it?
They love us so much.
Good, I'm not alone.
They love us so much, and everyone is so happy. They love what they have. And they work so hard to get nowhere. And they're so appreciative. I want to move here and start an orphanage myself.
She sent that text, and then she was crushed in the rubble. Literally, 2 hours later. And there is a book on this if you want to read it. You can order it, and it goes through the whole story and how her mom heard about it and tried to reach her and couldn't reach her, and then their whole worlds changed from that moment on. But that stands as kind of a centerpiece of the whole place. That's why this orphanage exists. There's Chuck wandering. He finds a cross, of course. Chuck's always smiling. You just got to love the guy. Elizabeth, this is the rooftop where we were able to just hang out and have our coffee. And it is gorgeous. As Chuck said, what did Chuck say? This is like staying at a Ritz-Carlton. Because he stayed at other places in Haiti that aren't so nice. So this is like the Ritz-Carlton. What's the problem here? It even has air conditioning. So we spent a lot of time on the roof. There's our sleeping accommodations, not the greatest, but you know, bunk beds with air conditioning. There's three sets of beds in there, so six people to a room if it's really crowded. I think we had four to a room.
We had air conditioning from 10 p.m. until 8 a.m.
Yes, yeah, they rationed the AC, so you only got it for 10 to, but that's about all you needed, just for that sleeping time. After that, you were never in there anyways, so there's a bathroom in each room. There's Chuck peeking in. Peeking in on Madam Yannick. She cooked us the most wonderful meals, and there's Chuck. I don't even know how I happened to be there and caught that moment.
The rest of us were inside.
Chuck was out. Yeah, everybody else is waiting for dinner. There's Chuck. These are just some images. Everybody, I'm just going to go through them. Anybody wants to chime in? And so the beautiful land and location, you guys, it's really just an incredible place.
And the shrubbery that goes around the walls hides barbed wire underneath so that it's totally safe for the kids inside.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
If you went back to the other slide, the green area, they play soccer every day. The track, they run, they have bikes in sheds, so they bike around there. The kids are very athletic. They teach them gymnastics. They teach them dance. They all can sing, and they have instruments available. So these 66 kids are being groomed to be the leaders of Haiti. That is the plan for the orphanages. This is the next leadership team.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's a non-adoptive orphanage, because they're grooming those kids to stay in Haiti, not to leave.
Yep, to lead the next generation. A beautiful shot through the sunset one of us took. And the mango tree, you know the story in the mango tree, they can tell it real quick. They built the whole, this is right at the main part of the crux of the bee, and they built it for...
The mango tree represents good luck. And when the designer was there with Mr. Gengel, with Papa Gengel, they were going to take down the tree, and the designer architect said, no, move the building, leave the tree, because it represents good luck. And in reading the book about the tree, many times they held meetings under the tree because it became such a significant part of the culture within the orphanage.
Yeah. So this place is really incredible, especially considering it's in Haiti. They have their own sustainable gardens. I mean, look at they grow a lot of their own food. It's grown right on site there in these tiered gardens. All sorts of great fruits and mangoes and papayas, and I don't even know what the heck that brown thing is. But it looks good. Fresh cherries, they picked these and they made some incredible cherry juice and served them to us. I mean, really amazing. All that came off their grounds. Solar. They're 100%, not 100% solar, but they're a good majority of their daily power comes from solar power. They have these big panels up on the roof and plenty of batteries to store it. This is in Haiti. So we can't really do this in Florida. They're doing this in Haiti. I mean, think about that. Come on, we need to wake up, Florida. Every place in Florida should have this on their roof and in their storage. So pretty amazing. MIT developed water filtration. One of the biggest concerns is water, drinking water, getting sick, things like that. And they developed this structure to filter, the nanotechnology filter the water. And
after the earthquake, 9,000 additional people died of cholera because of the water being so bad. And the beautiful thing about this filtration system is not only does it give those 66 kids and the staff clean water, they will give clean water to anybody that will walk up the hill with their bucket, and they do. So they're providing that service to the community as well.
Yeah, and it's not just these two up top on the roof. They have two of those. They have a like 500,000 gallon cistern underneath that big field to hold other filtered water. So especially at the end of the year before the rainy season comes, that's when they just give a lot of it away to the community. So really incredible. And of course, it's built to California earthquake standards. This thing isn't going anywhere. I don't think a Richter 9 could damage this building. It is there and is there to stay, perched on its hilltop for all time.
Up in the back corners back there where you can't see them are also armed guards that are there 24 hours a day protecting the kids. So people often ask us, were we scared being there? I never was for a minute because we were so well protected.
Yeah. It's definitely an armed place. It's quite a place. Another beautiful shot of solar panels. The kids, you guys got to meet these kids. That's all 66 of them right there. Beautiful kids. It's just kind of a smorgasbord of the kids. And we spent a lot of time doing this, reading, spending time with the kids, helping them with homework, things like that, and just talking with them. Great shots. And there's Ellery. They're fascinated by his cell phone.
I was showing them pictures of the twins, and they were fascinated with the twins.
Not the Minnesota twins, the twins. Clarify that. Birthdays were really important. They celebrated, the kids dressed, the birthday celebrant dresses up to the hilt, and they do a big celebration. So we were fortunate to celebrate one of their birthdays, and they do a big cake, and it's one of the grandest nights for the kids. So, this is just a little clip. I'm just going to show the light. Wait a second until the boy comes out. He's going to steal your heart. She steals your heart. He's quite a character. He's going to wait for her. Look at the light. That's what this whole thing is doing. But it's not all fun and games. Isn't that great? One of those moments, I'm so glad I was there. There's a lot of learning as well. And feel free to chime in, you guys, on this. There's one of the coolest things they did is they taught the kids cooking in the kitchen upstairs in our area and in the kitchen, the main kitchen downstairs. Some photos of kids learning to cook with Madame Unique. Many of you know Madame Unique passed away just a couple weeks ago. We got that devastating news. And she had a stroke, we found out. And died there right at the orphanage. Chloe called it one of the worst days in our history. And she was such just a sweet soul. Kids making beads, necklaces, and...
There's a real estate company in Florida that said if they would send them 10,000 bracelets, they would sell them as a fundraiser for them. So the kids were making bracelets. And I sat down to help. And one of the girls was going to show me how, and she started speaking to me in Creole, and the older girl next to her said, English, English. So she taught me in English.
The other thing they're teaching the kids is that they're going to speak French, because that's one of the official languages of Haiti, English, and then also Creole. So all of them are learning three languages.
That's impressive. They also learn music. Most of them are musically adept, and they ran their own store. This was really cool. We were able to buy some things that were made by the kids, and they had to track the books. And
we have items up here that they made, some of the stuff that they made. And yeah, it was great because they kept a record of everything. They wrote us out a receipt, so they're learning those skills as well.
Yeah. And they learned to sew, face stitchers, Peg, for you. Sewing machines to get you there to get some sewing lessons, huh? Yeah, right. And they did worship. I think twice a week they put on a worship service that the kids planned, ran, played the music, did the whole thing. Really, really a neat experience to be through. Well, so what was life like for us, you're asking? Well, we did a lot of this, a lot of coffee up on the roof, a lot of that. We learned a lot of, we had moments like this learning Creole. Like this, I think that's Madonna holding up bonsoir. So we went around and did lots of language around this table that's in that upper area. We ate all our meals here. We communed here. We talked here. We journaled here. Just a really wonderful place to hang out. And it's gorgeous because it's over the Caribbean Sea. I mean, you can't beat that. And the breeze would whip through there. Even though it's hot, that breeze would keep you cool like air conditioning. It was amazing. Oh, there's Chuck. Kicking back. Dante, we did a lot of this, taking pictures, and we did a lot of reflecting. Every night we sat down for a long reflection period, time of prayer, just talked about what we experienced, because your emotions are high. You're seeing some of the worst poverty you can ever imagine, and it takes a toll on you. So we had this time every night to just say how we're feeling, and sometimes you wanted to chime in, other times you didn't. It was just, you know, kind of up to you. And there's Chuck reading. Our theme, Chuck and the Goat, I think, are our theme through this. And there's Don journaling, and Ellery's sleeping on a couch in the back. You can't really see him well in that, but he's kicked back on the couch back there. So lots of downtime, lots of time watching the kids in that courtyard just race around. And of course, the bread. I've joked about the bread, you guys. This sourdough bread, I'm still having dreams about it. It was so good that Ellery and I would constantly race up to make sure we could get one more piece before Madame Unique packed it away. And there's Chuck stealing fruit. Chuck's down in the kitchen stealing fruit, wandering around again. I caught him. He's got a big smile on his face.
One of the things about Chuck is the rest of us were hot and sweaty, wearing t-shirts all the time, and Chuck had a freshly pressed shirt everywhere we went.
He's a farmer. Chuck is a farmer. He's used to it. It's pretty amazing. So those are kind of our second part of this. We got out and about a lot, so we'll just kind of run through these. This was a location that we went to, our first day even, our second day, and this is where Britt was supposed to go to set up her orphanage, or to where they were going to do some work with the kids.
To
visit an orphanage. And there's a plaque to her after she died, and there's some more kids. These kids were a ball. Look at the beach. See the beach? Want to say anything about the beach, Ellery? No, it's just a mess. I mean, you know, you're there and you get...
It isn't like people just neglect and let things pile up. There's just nowhere to put it. There's no place to take the trash. So most of this is probably washed up from somewhere, along with the families that are living along that shore. But they're not just disregarding. It's just no place to put it. And when it piles up enough, then they put it together and burn it.
There is no sanitation system in all of Haiti.
Pigs and the goats, that's the sanitation system, yeah. Here's us handing out pee willies to kids. The kids, whenever they saw tourists especially come around, they just would come from the trees because they knew you have pee willies, which are, we know them as dum-dums. You know dum-dum suckers? They're called pee willies there. And they would come out, and adults, kids, they all wanted to get, so they knew you had some kind of a pocket full of pee willies. So they would come out from everywhere. And this is some reflecting. Some more of the kids. Yeah, they got the pee willies in their mouth. You can see them right there. They're happy as can be.
I was so impressed at the creativity of the children because they would make a toy out of anything. The kids that don't live in the orphanage have a very different life. And so when they played soccer, they had a plastic bottle as the ball. It was just a very different life for them.
Yeah, those kids you just saw had quite a game going on with a plastic bottle.
Yeah, and they were having a blast. They really had a good time. They were happy.
We toured pharmacies, places like this. We toured clinics. And when I say clinic, the Cuban clinic being one, I mean like, what, 1950s? Probably for us, 1950s technology. And one room was supposed to be sterile because it was going to be having surgery. And we saw the window was open and flies were coming and going. And it's just that kind of, they're doing the best they can.
And all the doctors come from Cuba. After they get their education in Cuba, they're sent to Haiti. And that's where all the medical people come.
This is a typical schoolroom, one of the schools that we toured. And we did fun stuff, too. We got up, we hiked in the mountains. Gorgeous, gorgeous land, you guys. I mean, it's beautiful. There's a group kind of hiking down there, just showing some of that beautiful landscape. And I love it when our God is still speaking shirt is there.
There was an earlier shot of Ellery sitting on that rock looking out over the valley there with the rainbow comma on. Of course, this is not, well, I say of course, but this is not an open and affirming country at all.
No.
So we had a few infiltrators while we were there. But I just loved it. As sat on that rock with that rainbow comma on the back of his shirt, knowing that, you know, we're in a beautiful place, that God loves us all, and we're there whether they know it or not.
We're there. Yeah, I was proud to have that comma displayed all throughout Haiti, which was great.
One thing that was really interesting about the mountain people and that area was when you go visit the market, there are all these stands and vegetables and things. Well, many of the mountain people grow the vegetables up in the mountain, and the women carry it down to the market and sell it. Well, the men, you know, do a lot of the farming groundwork.
Yeah. Cool stop. Voodoo temple. Who's ever been to a voodoo temple? Jeff's been to a voodoo temple. Yeah, yes. This is fascinating, eerie, scary. I don't know how to put it. It kind of surreal, I guess, is a way. Fran, maybe you can put it better.
The two things that this particular voodoo temple, they each have their own gods. And this one, the two things that they worship are goat's heads and whiskey.
Rum.
And so decorated up around that pole there are all heads of animals and empty whiskey bottles. Very unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, I joined the congregation that day. Hey, goat's head and rum, I'm in. This is pretty cool.
I do have to say that the Chloe's family was conservative, I guess is the best way to say it.
Traditional.
Yeah. Very traditional. And the father particularly had trouble with the voodoo temple and wouldn't go inside. And they sang us Christian songs all the way home to purify
cleanse us from the voodoo-ness. That's the guy in the white there is the priest. He's the head priest of the place, and apparently he's been doing this for generations. He has a cell phone, I know.
He'd be answering questions for us, and then his cell phone would ring, answer it. Very bizarre.
We saw the future of Haiti in places like Haiti Made, a leather goods shop, some of which you'll see right up here. You can come take a look after the service. And they were doing amazing things. They're green. They're solar. They're sending stuff all over the world. I think Ellery has a guitar strap coming from them soon. And it's just really neat to see the future of Haiti and how that this country can change for the better.
And they're online. You can order from them also. Haiti Made,
yep. At future tourism spot, we were able to spend time at a beautiful beach. This was a very different beach, although not that much farther away, but a beautiful beach that the Be Like Brit organization has now purchased land on to start to try and build some cottages to encourage tourism into Haiti.
One of the things that they're going to do, as the kids get older and they're trying to teach them skills, one of the reasons why the Gangles have bought this land to build these cottages is to teach the kids hotel skills and cooking so that the older kids can then begin working.
Absolutely. And it was beautiful. Look at that water. That's Caribbean. That's Caribbean land. That is gorgeous. And it felt so crisp and clean. And then we had one final stop in the market, which was one of the most fascinating stops, but we weren't allowed to take any pictures. I think they were just fearful of what would happen if we pulled a camera out and started taking pictures, because you saw a lot of things people might not want recorded. So we didn't take any. Usually that to me is I'm taking pictures moment. When I hear don't take pictures, I'm taking pictures. But I think they filled my hands with that big bucket so they knew that I could not take any pictures. Get my phone out. So we really don't have any pictures on the market. So, but we bought lots of stuff, and we'll get to that in just a second. Just part three, real quick. How are you involved? Those hockey bags that we saw in the beginning. You guys filled those things. You remember that? With shampoo and Tylenol and soap and underwear and shaving kits and extension cords and all sorts of different stuff. And we food items, and we brought it there. We got it there, and we sorted it. Dresses, and finger puppets, and really, really cool stuff. You also bought these shirts. Your donations, because so many of you made financial donations to this, you bought these shirts for the crew, the building crew, which we'll get to in a second. We get to our house bill, which was kind of our biggest part of this journey, I think, for a lot of us. You guys bought all these shirts. I don't know how many we bought for, two for each, and how many crew members there were.
They were so proud.
Yeah, they didn't want to wear them because they didn't want to get them dirty because they were so proud of them. So they each got two, and maybe we can do some more down the road, but they were really into these shirts. This was like a thing of pride for these guys. We made peace cranes, did a presentation. Don led us and Elizabeth led us in this peace cane crane presentation to the kids where they all got a pee wheelie and a crane. We taught lots of kids how to make cranes. There's Don, our crane master, folding the crane. You also did finger puppets, dresses. The face stitchers did the dresses. You brought pee wheelies, medicine, money, and more. So for that, we say thank you. And the orphanage says a great big thank you.
Also, when they got there, the kids got their peace crane. They went and gave it to one of their friends. So they were exchanging the peace cranes.
As a sign, that was really, really cool. Okay, this is our big part here. We'll roll through this. We built it day by day. When you go on this trip, the reason you need 12 to 15 people is because part of your funding, it's $1,600 a person, but you're funding a home. You're funding that with that money, not just your orphanage stay, all your meals, all your transportation, everything, your airfare. You're funding a home for a family. What happened was in 2000, Hurricane Matthew came through, and a family at the base of the mountain where the orphanage is was washed away. They died. It was a family of four. Drowned out, flooded out in storm surge. And Len heard about it. He's Britt's dad who built all this, and he said, that's never going to happen again at the base of our driveway. That's unacceptable. So they came up with the idea of doing these tours, like with groups like us, and building these homes. And when I say home, I mean, that's not the size of most of our garages for a lot of us. And but for them, it's a mansion. So we were number 131, we think, 131st home that they built. And it's cool. When you're up in the orphanage, you can look down and see blue roofs. And everyone has a blue roof, and you can see them dotted throughout the landscape. So it's really a powerful thing. So we had a ball. I'd say to me, this is some of the most powerful times I had was on this work site. We showed up. Anybody have anything quick to add to that, or should we roll into this? We'll roll into it. First site, we did first day, so it was 5 days, Monday through Friday. We got to the site. We did a blessing. This is the site. We had to drive in a riverbed. We had to cram in this Jeep every day to get down there with all of our work tools, like in like 900 degrees and humid, with no air conditioning. That was always a good start to the morning. Went that riverbed. We did a blessing the first day. We all circled up. This is where that family's going to have their home. This is where we're going to build them a home. You're going to help build them a home because you made so many donations to this. The family before was a family of five, a mom, two daughters, and two sons, and they were living in literally a tent, a lean-to, we're going to call it, in this person's yard. So they had nothing. They really had nothing. So we just went to work. We started digging day one. We dug post holes. We sweated. There's Chuck in his perfectly pressed shirt. The rest of us are just a sweaty mess. Okay, don't tell him any of this, all right? When he comes back, like, yeah, you might have come up once or twice. We dug post holes. We laid the foundation. And we got stared at all time by this goat.
That was the next door goat.
Next door goat. Just watched us work like it had nothing better to do. So that was day one. That was just laying the foundation, digging holes. This is day two. This is I think, one of the most fun days, the hardest working days. We laid the foundation with concrete. We danced up on top to pack it down. It was a great moment. And we built that up, and then we obviously took a break. We don't know where Chuck is. Not there. He's off wandering somewhere. And Chloe's got herself all tangled up with one of the kids. That's Chloe, by the way, our guide. And this is how we poured the concrete. So we were up on a hill, but the riverbed was down below, so we did a bucket brigade. You ever done a bucket brigade? You pass the bucket one to another, and it was a couple hours of just solid work. It felt great to do, and we just watched that whole thing kind of form, and then we are dumping more concrete. And
it wasn't here's the water, here's the it's about from where that wall is to where the kids are on Sunday. I mean, and uphill carrying water.
But that was what it looked like in the end. I mean, all that work paid off. We got this beautiful, smooth foundation for them. And there's the goat staring at us again.
I just wanted to say that one of the gentlemen that was with us knew some things about building and all. And he wanted to provide them with nail guns and spray painters and all this kind of stuff. But that takes away what they're trying to instill in the people that are building the house. So it's very rudimentary, and but it can be done.
Yeah.
As well as there is no electricity for most of it. No running water. Everything had to be done by hand.
Yeah. And the water was trucked in big buckets that then we brought up the hill. There's no electricity even to plug in a nail gun or anything like that. It's so basic. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
There's the goat. one of the things that Leslie, to follow up on what she said, is Be Like Brit employs more people in Grand Gravé than any other. They're the largest employer with over 100 employees. When they first built the orphanage, they put a big washing machine in to help wash the kids' clothes and soon decided that put a lot of people to work. And so they don't use the washing machine. They have women come in, and their full-time job is as laundresses. Because the kids have their uniforms washed and ironed every single day before they go to school. So they really want to not use power tools because it takes away from the number of people they're able to employ.
Yeah, they're an economy unto themselves. They really are. Day three, we're rolling along. We got the foundation laid. We got the posts up. Today is my least favorite day, called framing, where you have to use a mateau, which is a hammer, and clous, which are nails. Mateau and clou in Creole. And we had to hammer things, and I'm terrible at that. So I took a lot of pictures and chased Chuck around this day. One of my favorite pictures. And we see it started going up, you guys. Starting to look like a home. Your home. You helped do this. You helped build this. And there's our comma in Haiti, which is fantastic. And the walls went up. And there we are nailing up boards. And we found Chuck. Nailing and more playfulness. Chloe just said, I don't even think you've seen her face yet. Because she always has some kind of a wrap on. The kids were so wonderful at the sites. And we played with them a lot and gave them peewheelies. And there's our friend, the old goat. Day four, last day on the site actually working, we painted the house. This was a fun day. It's a good day. It's just slapping paint around. Fran was just a trooper. She's violating all OSHA regulations and ladder regulations by standing on the top rung of the ladder, and she just got up there to that top part. It was pretty amazing. Look at that. A little testament to her work.
Ivan, I'm not doing this at home.
Ivan's going to see a vaulted ceiling and go, hey, Fran, I got the ladder out. we had a lot of fun on the site, too.
But OSHA doesn't have jurisdiction.
No, they don't. They were putting up the cross, and then they did the roof for us, and that was the end of that day. And now this is day five. This is, I think, what for most of us was probably the most powerful day. I know Fran will say a little bit about that. But first, before we left, they don't have a bed. These folks, this family didn't have a bed. There's no bed for them to sleep on. There's no amenities like that. So part of your money that you gave to make this trip happen is building a bed with a mattress. So we spent a little time in the morning building a bed. There's someone testing out the bed, making sure it works. Now, think about it. A family of five is going to sleep on that bed. So think about that. It's not a king size. It's probably just a double, if anything, I'm guessing. And there we are, heading to the work site. We loaded up the bed. We got all the gifts that we bought for them that you saw from the market. We've got a goat. Part of the package is to bring a pregnant goat for the family. So they'll have a couple of goats for the future, for milk and different things like that. And there she is. That's our goat. And there's the stuff we bought. What are some of the items you guys carried around? Tables and or chairs and...
We got bags of rice and oil, a cooking oil. They got a little stove to cook on. They got spaghetti. They got tomatoes, brooms, mops, food for a month to get them started.
Yeah, just some basics. And that's the front porch of the house. So the house, think about it. This house is, I mentioned the size before. I think it's 12 by 15. 12 by 12 for the house.
That was 12 by 12.
Oh, so, okay, so it's plus the porch. Yeah, so the porch is just a couple extra feet. So 12 by 12 house with that porch. I mean, it's a couple steps up and a front door, but that front door you're going to learn here in a second is everything. So.
And one slatted window, but just slats so that air can.
Yeah, so we went there that morning. We delivered these goods. We hugged the family. Got to meet any of the kids that we hadn't met that were on the site. There's our family. There's five. A family you guys bought a house for?
Yeah, five kids.
Five kids. Oh, five kids.
Mama and five kids.
Three daughters, that's right. Yep. That's Madame Fanny and her kids. She's widowed, of course, and raising these kids on her own. All teenagers. Can you imagine that? So we held hands. We did a. We all went around. Everybody went around and said a special blessing to the family. It was a really, for me, one of the most moving parts of the whole time is just to hear people speak a word of blessing on this home and on this family. And those are that's a solar light that a church, Naples UCC, donated to every single house that they have built yet. So they're getting their solar light. That's a big deal to have a solar light. A big, big deal. And then they're going to go back and give them to all the other homes that that they had built along the way. Because they said if one home gets a new thing, they're going to have all the other families marching up the hill saying, where's my solar light? They got one. Why didn't I get one? So they said when you do one, you got to make sure you cover all of them at that point, all the houses that have been built. This was a moment I don't think any of us are ever going to forget. A couple of us heard it. A couple of us said, wow, afterwards. This is a daughter. She gave. I talked about this before, I think in a sermon, right? We got back, and she, you know, the kids went around and said something, and this is what that door means, you guys, that locking door. She said, I'm so happy I have a door that locks now, so I don't have to worry about being taken at night. Think about that for a second. Think about that. That's amazing. I mean, to hear that come out of her, we were floored, and it really kind of put things in perspective as to how important this house is to that family. Fran, you want to say a few words about this moment?
I'm not sure. I've had a lot of honors in my life, but each group selects somebody to give the keys to the new family, and I was selected to be the one to do that, and it was probably one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had. It was truly amazing to get a hug and to know that.
Yeah, we chose someone to hand the key over. We asked Fran to do it, you know, because she was up on that ladder. We felt that's the least we can do for her, for risking life and limb and getting up on that ladder. And Fran said, I'd love to do that. So that's a moment where she gave her the key, and she gave her a hug, and then they opened their door for the first time. I mean, imagine how excited. This is like, it's like winning the lottery, you guys, for us. I mean, it's like winning the lottery, you know? And there they are looking in their house for the first time, and the kids were all smiling, and it was just really a moment to behold. We're all applauding, and it's just, I'll never forget that moment. It was really incredible. And then we just, you know, we gathered up for some photos. That's our friends that we traveled with. That's Chloe with her family there, and Madame Fanny in the back, and there's us. And Ellery wishes I really would have put a close-up of my leg. I had a couple of minor accidents. I had a pretty butchered-up leg. You know, hey, wounds for the journey. That's how I see it. What they say in Life of Brian or whatever, it's merely a flesh wound. And there's our builders, our shirts, those shirts that you guys donated. And there's a look inside the house. That's the house. I mean, it's, you know, there's no walls on it except for the 2x4s and the plywood and that one window and the door. But to them, this was stability. It was safety. And it was getting them out of the mud. They wouldn't have to sleep on the mud floor anymore.
And Madame Fanny said that several times in that place where she was, when the rains came through, they just got everything they owned got soaking wet. So that was her comment to us, that she thanked us that they had a dry place to sleep in.
And keep in mind, no running water, no plumbing, no bathroom,
no electricity,
no air conditioning. It's a home, but it's a home.
It's a palace.
It's a palace. And there's our friend one last time, just watching the whole thing unfold, just sitting there. Nothing better to do. These are just in closing, want to share. That's one when Lizbeth earlier mentioned the toys. That little boy in red, that's a toy. He found a stick and this little round thing, and he would just kind of wheel it around. I saw another kid with an oil carton container. You pour oil in your car. He'd put little like bottle caps, like Pepsi bottle caps, and made a truck out of it. He was pulling that around. I mean, the way they get creative. And little boy in the middle on the bike, do you guys remember him? He followed us all the way through the city one day because he knew we had pee willies. I mean, he was going up hills. He was keeping with us. We showered him with suckers because we were so impressed with his tenacity to keep up with us. He had like 800 pee willies that day. He was a lucky kid. He's probably still selling them off. A couple of the kids at the site they just kind of walked her. They were one of the other family's kids. And I gave her that Nalgene bottle. We left a lot of our stuff there, you know, they can use later. And that Nalgene bottle was still really ice cold, filled with ice water. And someone commented to me, like, when she was just drinking it, that she probably had never had ice water before. She hadn't had that experience of ice cold water. So she kept it, and she tried to give it back to me. I said, no, you keep it. You keep it. And she kind of looked at me and ran away with it. And Pee Willies, and more of the kids from the orphanage, just some of the beautiful kids. Again, I'll play this out there so you can take a look at it afterwards. There's Frankie and Mommy Love. She runs the place in the blue there. Frankie was our driver for a good chunk of it, and just an all-around good guy. Vishu in the black shirt.
Frankie was covering his eyes because the girls were doing gymnastics, and he hadn't seen them do flips, multiple flips, and so he was covering his ears in shock.
That's Vishu in the black there. He was our always armed guard at all times, was with us, keeping us safe and generally chasing around Chuck. So he lost 10 pounds that week when Chuck was there, running all over looking for him. And there's Madame Yannick, that final picture. Madame Yannick, our kitchen, our bread maker, our amazing hospitality, just a generous hospitality giver. She will be missed. She's a great lady, and she fed us so well that week. It was really quite amazing. So,
I've had the opportunity to travel a good part of the world, and the only place that I've ever seen as poor as Haiti, Palestinian refugee camp. Our clothes were my clothes. I'm a terrible painter, so my clothes were covered with paint, and I wanted to throw them away and realized that it was better to bring my dirty stuff home and throw it away here because it just ended up. So, I mean, but never did we see anybody that wasn't pleasant and happy, and it was just astounding
how
good-natured
it was. It was. Just a couple pictures in closing. There's Chloe doing some yoga on a rock. All of us just in just some kind of a just thinking moment, you know. I threw up one of my favorite quotes from the incredible Gospel of Northern Exposure. Just remember that show? You never know where you've been until you come back to where you were. Only where you were might not be as it was because of who you become, which is, after all, why you left. And that's the journey. That's the journey, and I think we're still all unpacking it even months later. And we're hoping that maybe you want to consider taking that journey with us, and we can take 12 to 15 people from this church on that journey with us.
The other family that we traveled with, the Ritz, they were on the other end of where our church is. So even though fundamentally their following of God and their following of Jesus wasn't similar to us, I mean, they figured we probably would burn us at the stake. Their experience and our experience of what we accomplished and what we gave to those people were the same. That's the thing that I will carry with me. Even though there's people out there with different opinions, different ways of experiencing what they see as their life, love is love, and giving is giving.
Amen, my friends. Leslie, you want to just say one last plug here?
The first week in February is prime time. It is open. I'm going back. I'd love for you all to go with me, anybody that wants to. They need a reservation fairly soon. So if you are moved by this and think that you would like to go and be a part of this, please come see me afterwards.
Please do. I know there's many of you who have expressed interest. We'll get a sheet going, or just talk to Leslie or email me and I'll forward it on to Leslie. If we can get 12 to 15 from this church, great. If we get 5, we can partner with another church. But again, it's a safe trip, you guys. It's an amazing trip. It'll change your life. Join us on the journey. Take that chance. Take that risk and come and meet some amazing people. Well, thanks for indulging us in this time. I know it was a little extended, but well worth it. And you're all a part of this story, every single one of you. So thank you so much.